And I'm Bob Nelson with KUER News. Across the country, thousands of people who are mentally ill cycle in and out of the criminal justice system. The National Alliance on Mental Illness says about 2 million people who are mentally ill are booked into jail every year. But prosecuting these defendants is difficult because their illness often prevents them from truly understanding the charges against them or even what they've done wrong. KUER's Whitney Evans spoke to one Utah family who's experienced this firsthand.
Sherry and Mark Hunter seem like a typical middle-class couple in Spanish Fork, Utah.
Charles, come here.
But the Hunters have a constant worry that keeps them on their toes. Their adult son, Mitchell Exeen, has a severe form of paranoid schizophrenia. His illness is marked by delusions and violent outbursts, which he's been arrested for multiple times, all while in the care of physicians at mental health facilities like Provo Canyon Behavioral Hospital.
When they arrested him there, he got beat up pretty bad because he fought him. He got some pretty serious bruises and big goose egg on his head.
Exeen has bounced from psychiatric hospitals to courtrooms to jail cells. In a July Facebook post, Hunter expressed fear that her oldest son would be going to jail for good, all for behavior he can't control. Hunter's post is how I came to find her. Her son, who is 33 years old, has lived at the Utah State Hospital in Provo on and off for 5 years. And he's tried repeatedly to transition back to the community and to less restrictive facilities.
When he's been in psychiatric units, if he has aggression, they call the police.
The Treatment Advocacy Center, a nonprofit organization focused on access to mental health care, found that people with mental illnesses are 16 times more likely to be killed by law enforcement. Hunter says her son is actually a sweet person who cares about his family and his dog Charles, who lives in the Hunter home. Exeen's legal trouble began last summer after his doctor, who declined to be interviewed for this story, determined that he was well enough to be discharged from the state hospital. The Hunters were feeling hopeful.
He came in the kitchen and he gave me a hug and he goes, "You know, I really love you, Mom." And I go, "I love you too." And that's out of character for him to initiate a hug.
But the family was quickly reminded of just how much their son needed the support and security of the state hospital.
Later on that day, he started telling me that there was somebody in his computer that was watching him.
Exeen's delusions intensified. His case manager convinced him to go to Utah Valley Regional Medical Center for evaluation. There, he allegedly pinched a nurse's buttocks as she was drawing his blood. Provo police arrested him right there in the psychiatric unit. He was charged with sexual battery, and he sat in jail for a week until the Hunters were able to take him to another psychiatric hospital. This time, Wasatch Mental Health. Exeen was there less than a day before he assaulted doctors.
I couldn't believe it. They took him back to jail.
But this time, jail officials dropped him off in downtown Provo, where Hunter says Exeen took his clothes off, walked into a restaurant, and called her. It took several months to get him back into the state hospital because it was full. Now, in addition to a strict treatment plan, he has an open criminal case to resolve. Exeen is far from an anomaly in Utah. Provo police say they come into contact with people who are mentally ill every day.
More than just once a daily basis, multiple times on each shift with different officers.
That's Nisha King, a sergeant with Provo police. She says her department has had more than 300 such encounters just since January, and she says that number has only increased over the years. Long-term mental health beds have all but evaporated over the last 50 years. The country started moving away from warehousing people in psychiatric hospitals. But many healthcare providers say the promise policymakers made to replace those beds with community-based services never really materialized. This has put law enforcement on the front lines of a mental health crisis. Sergeant King says the law enforcement community has responded by offering police officers crisis intervention training. Crisis intervention prepares officers to safely navigate interactions with the mentally ill.
Hard part with it is that it's only offered twice a year. So as we have a lot of turnover and a lot of hiring, that's something that we're constantly looking for.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, law enforcement agencies that require crisis intervention training report as much as an 80% decrease in officer injuries. But at this point, that training is not required to become a police officer in Utah. Mitchell Exeen wanted to be a police officer, But first, he enlisted in the military at age 18, fresh out of high school. That's when Mark Hunter, Exene's stepfather, believes the problems began.
We learned that age is about when schizophrenia starts rearing its ugly head in young male adults, is right about that late teens to early 20s.
Exene joined the Army in 2006 and was stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. But almost as soon as he arrived at the Army base, he went AWOL. The family found out later he'd traveled to Washington State and was living on the streets in Bellingham, near the Canadian border. Exene's biological father, who lived in Seattle, bused him down to Utah to live with Sherry, who had no idea he was sick.
And I didn't even recognize him. He had long hair. He was wearing two different shoes. He smelled like he hadn't had a shower in at least a month. I mean, he was in really bad shape.
The Hunters found that they couldn't force him to take medication, nor could they stop him from leaving the state. Hunter says Exene took a bus to Los Angeles in 2010 and was arrested for trespassing on the red carpet during the Oscars. Police transported him to a hospital in California. Hunter says a doctor there told her Exene was one of the worst cases of schizophrenia she'd ever seen. That's when the Hunters finally admitted him to the Utah State Hospital and became his legal guardians.
How are you?
Hi, Mitchell. How are you today? I spoke to Mitchell on the phone last week. I wanted to make sure he was okay with me telling his story.
Doing okay. Just visiting my mom.
When we spoke, Exene was heavily medicated and a little difficult to understand, but he told me all he wants is to be carefree and on his own.
It is still something that I would like to have in the future. I do understand it won't happen for a while.
Exene said he feels remorseful for the outbursts, but he's also confused about why they happen. So he spends a lot of time reading books about psychology to learn about his condition. Kip Landon is a clinical social worker with Wasatch Mental Health. Landon says when Exene's doctor discharged him from the state hospital last year, he was actually pretty hopeful that he'd make a successful transition.
He did everything we needed him to do with the residential program to show us that he could probably step down to a lesser level of care. Our charge is to keep people in the least restrictive environment possible while still making sure that they're stable and they're safe.
The Hunters had hoped that Provo City would drop Exene's case because of his mental state, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. There's a victim who wants justice, the phlebotomist who accused Exene of assault. And a psychiatrist has found Exene to be mentally competent and explained that Exene understands the facts in his case, but has a hard time applying them rationally. Exene's mother, Sherry Hunter, spoke after a court hearing on his case this week. She's frustrated her son is still being prosecuted.
I'm not pleased because I wanted this to be over with.
Hunter says she just wants her son to be safe, in a stable environment where he can continue with his treatment. But in a twist of irony, Exene will now move through the criminal justice system and resolve his case as if he has no mental illness at all, all while being housed in a secure unit of a psychiatric hospital. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
To hear their story again, and many of the stories of KUER reporters, visit KUER.org. And that was, in fact, the ultimate radio feature from Whitney Evans. And I certainly don't wish to take away any of the impact of that powerful story, but this was the final radio piece from Ms. Evans that we're likely to hear aired on KUER. She's moving to Richmond, Virginia, to be the crime and justice reporter for NPR affiliate KCVE. Speaking for the entire staff at KUER, we will miss her a lot. Her cartwheels in the hall and her impactful, award-winning stories, and although there is only one Whitney Evans, we will promise to do our best to find a reporter whose storytelling skills are at least on par with Ms. Evans. We wish her the very best.